Welcome to No Room for Phonies. This is episode 95.
The follow-up to our conversation with Tracy Giesbrecht about the second half of life.
And we base that discussion loosely on Richard Rohr's book, Falling Upward. And Richard Rohr is a Franciscan priest, but he is definitely not your typical priest. I think I talked about that before, but he is prolific as far as books are concerned. And he wrote the book called The Universal Christ. Right now I'm reading his book, Breathing Underwater. And what he does in that book is he takes the 12 steps from AA and he makes them like personal to everybody.
Oh, interesting.
It's very interesting. Radical Grace, the Enneagram.
Which we read and have talked about before.
Everything Belongs, Divine Dance, The Naked Now, Immortal Diamond, Eager to Love.
Which I'm working through right now.
Eager to Love?
Oh, wait.
Oh, no. The
authors are two women writing about all of his writings. Okay, sorry,
different one. Jesus's Alternative Plan. I want to read that one.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
So anyway, and that's just the tip of the iceberg as far as his books are concerned.
He has been on podcasts. He's given lectures.
And yeah.
DVDs and recordings of him.
He's amazing. I don't want to spend like a ton of time because I'd rather people actually listen to the original podcast.
Yes.
But I just want to hit on some of the highlights. One of the highlights for me was the amount of time that we talked about being the clumsy stewards of our own souls, mm-hmm. which is a quote from Richard Rohr. And it kind of is, pardon me, permission to be human. And, you know, it kind of gets you to that point of like reflection back on your own life and realizing that, you know.
I wonder, because of the word soul.
Right.
For those listeners who don't believe we have a soul and we're just a bunch
interesting what he talks about in the one I'm reading now, Breathing Underwater, he talks about the mind, the heart, and the body. So when you talk about like body, mind, and spirit, he calls it the heart, like
the heart
your spirit of like...
Not just your emotional center of your
brain.
No.
Okay. So it's quite interesting. I don't have the quote in front of me, but...
I just like the clumsy stewards of our own souls, but for people who don't believe in souls, we're still clumsy stewards of our gray matter and...
Well, and he almost talks about your soul as almost like your consciousness.
Yeah.
So it's just, I really liked the discussion we had about that and just the idea that good enough sometimes is just good enough.
Yeah.
Like you don't, this idea of perfection. Yeah. And we had a lot of discussion about what sends us into the second half of life and how we know we're there and is there a time frame?
I don't think it's an age.
No. Do you plan for it? What sends you into the journey, into the second half of life? And we had quite a bit of discussion about that in the
original conversation.
I think, you know, eventually you age into the second half of life, but I think some people can...
Except for people with Peter Pan syndrome.
Yes. Yes. Well, true. And you just never really make that deeper...
Yeah.
Like, and then, you know, we kind of dealt with... We just kind of talked about the statement, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, part of the second half of life is realizing how little control over you have a lot of things in your life. Mm-hmm. That is a big part of the, and it's like coming to terms with that in your life, which is difficult, right?
Yeah.
And then we talked about some of the tools. How do we find meaning in life when we are exposed to trauma or drama in our lives? And how do you determine kind of what really matters? I think trauma and drama in our lives actually does help us to determine what really matters.
I think so.
You kind of let go of certain...
I guess as you process and come out of the other side of trauma or
drama. Yes.
Then
it depends.
Because, like, going back to that other book of The Science of Stuck, some people are stuck in their trauma.
Yeah.
And I don't think they don't move into the second half of life.
No. So, you know, there's that there's sort of a statement. It either makes you bitter or better.
Yeah. Or you avoid it and self-medicate.
Yes.
Whatever. Habits.
Right. Habits. Yeah.
Substances, etc.
Well, and this is what the whole book Breathing Underwater is about, is like eliminating those things from your life so that you really get to your own consciousness. And, you know, he talks about, you know, the way that your mind, you have to find some form of contemplation or meditation in order to, like, release your mind from that. It's very interesting. And we also had a really big discussion about consciousness, and Tracy talked about articles about sort of investigating what happens.
Right. The scientists investigating, and they can't really claim it with scientific fact.
You know, and you know, that the second half of life journey is really about eradicating resentment and understanding fear, and that courageous curiosity about what is actually going on inside you, and even those kind of creative projects that exist outside of everyday life kind of become important. And just more deep thinking, like allowing yourself to move into more deep thinking. So, how do you avoid resisting moving into the second half of life? And because the journey into the second half of life is really a healing, to me, it's more of a healing journey. Mm-hmm. So.
But how do you avoid resisting? We tend to resist moving into it.
Well, because we don't want to do that contemplation and self-examination.
Well, we don't want to get older.
Yes. Yeah.
Just sometimes, just plain and simple.
So. But I think sometimes when we talked a little bit about, you know, the desire to stay young, and, you know, we had that discussion about, I like to have my younger self body and my older self mind or thinking, right? So, you know, I think it's important that as we have these experiences in life, that we really actually do dig into them. Like these more traumatic or experiences that shake our world, that instead of fearing them, we move into them and learn from them and become better people and more deeper, and, you know, start to really grab onto what is really important in life, which I don't is easier said than done.
Well, and I still think that what is important in life is different for each person too.
Yes. And he actually makes it so very clear that it's a constant struggle, that he is still working through these journeys.
He is 80 something.
I don't know. I'd have to look it up, but he's not young for sure. And the idea of challenging yourself in the second half of life, seeking ways to keep yourself engaged and moving outside your comfort zone. Like when we talked about this, I referred to the podcast as something that I did to keep myself engaged in the second half of life. And I mean, we do things with, you know, little kids, and we're engaged with our own children, and you know, and you have
physical activity. Well, and I'm not retired yet. So I was thinking of this question: how do you continue challenging yourself in the second half of life, maybe while you're still working? Mm-hmm. And for me, it's looking at the drama and the pressures and the stresses, and it's like not engaging.
Yeah.
And not needing to, like, as a younger man pursuing that status or that recognition.
Yeah.
I don't need to
exactly
pursue that anymore.
Well,
I don't,
and
I need
also
to be competitive. I don't need
But
to.
You can also move outside your comfort zone and push and try new things.
Yes,
and,
but I feel I have a lot more freedom taking those risks now.
Yes. Yeah, well, you can take
I don't think I
you
have
can
as
take
much
more
emotionally
risks.
At stake
Exactly. And I think the other thing is, like, I go back to the Seth Godin thing where it says, you know, if you really want to make a difference, go over and above what you're asked.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it's easier to do that in the second,
mm-hmm.
for the right reasons.
For the right reasons, yeah. Well, and I mean, yeah, anyway.
And I just wanted to again point out that when you go to the Center for Action and Contemplation website,
mm-hmm.
there are all kinds of online resources. Contemplation, and the quote on there says that contemplation embodies compassion. The more we are transformed in compassion, the more we act with compassion toward others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big quote on there. But I mean, there are online seminars, there are online resources, like that website that has been developed around the actual place that exists is right. quite amazing.
Cool.
So if I just wanted to point that out, I'll put the website
on
okay. and everything. And then I loved we got talking about, there's a story which I won't get into because you can listen to it about, in the end, it's all bullshit anyway.
Right.
And you know, the question there is, like, what are you so wound up about, basically? Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, wait to get. And I think we're all guilty of getting wound up about things yeah, that don't easily. Really matter.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have our own sort of level of capacity that we can take. But it was a great conversation. I would really encourage you to go back and listen to it. And I really would encourage you, if you are kind of at a precipice in your life, look up one of his books, any one of his books.
Yeah.
And definitely I recommend Falling Upward, but any one of his books. Breathing Underwater is just very...
Yeah, and I would say for, well, any age, but for those in the first half of life, I think the Enneagram is really good
yes.
to understand yourself and how you interact with other people and how your loved ones
mm-hmm.
are and the interaction between you and others. I think that's a good one.
But there's a lot of books. And like I say, he's written so many books. But I would really encourage you, if you have any desire to, you know, kind of go deeper into what contemplation is,
mm-hmm.
to go to the website because it had a lot of great stuff. So, yeah, number one, have a listen to episode 94, The Second Half of Life, with Tracy and Charles and I talking. And secondly, read one of Richard Rohr's books. And thirdly,
get back to us and let us know what you think.
Yeah. And thirdly, look up his website, the Center for Contemplation and Action.
All right. And
great.
Next week, I mean,
next time actually is going to be our back to school one.
Okay.
And my friend Rita is actually coming, and we're going to tape an episode with her.
Okay.
So we'll be able to talk about, we're going to do some reflecting on both of our careers kind of as principals, and then give some unsolicited advice about about kids in school and parents in school and all
Sounds
that sort
good.
Of stuff. All right, thanks for joining us for the little recap of episode 94 on No Room for Phonies, Second Half of Life.
Good night.